Hey, what's going on? Welcome to The Doug Show. My name's Doug Cunnington, and today I'm going to talk about recording my 500th episode. And it's actually probably like 520, like I've recorded some other episodes, some more bonus. There were weird numbering schemes, but as far as the numbering goes, this one is number 500. So I'm going to go over a few things that I've learned. I should have been keeping a list, you know, over time, because things shift. And when I was compiling the list, I was thinking, there's not as many things that I thought would be on the list. It was very short. I think the first list was like three items, and I expanded a little bit. I think we're going to go over probably like eight or nine. There's many layers to these, but one thing I need to be aware of, and you might be able to hear it in my voice, is I nearly lost my voice. I didn't quite lose it, but it sounded pretty bad. And I've been intending on recording this episode for like 2 weeks. So quick backstory. If you listen to this like way in the future, I'll set the stage. It is March 10th when I'm recording this. And the year is 2024, March 10th, 2024. A lot of you will be listening when it goes live, which is cool. Thanks for subscribing and checking out the live episodes. But my voice is still a little weak, so I'm going to try and talk a little bit quieter, get a little closer to the mic. It'll have a little bit of an NPR feel. But anyway, it is March, and there was a very bad like flu or cold going around. I'm usually fairly healthy most of the time. And in the last year to year and a half, I haven't gotten very sick. And I've been getting more and more rest and just drinking less and a couple other key items. But I got pretty sick over the last couple weeks. And my wife got it first. So she picked up a cold, and I thought she was just a little stressed out and her immune system was weak. Anyway, I was leaving for a trip after she was sick for like about 2 weeks. So I was leaving for a trip, and she was taking me to the airport. Like, her eye turned very pink. Like, I saw her and I was like, "Are you okay? Like, what's going on with your eye?" And she's like, "I don't know. Like, it's turned pink." She got pink eye, but she had a cold, and she actually went to the doctor after I reached my destination. So she went to the doctor the next day. They gave her some antibiotics, and they said, it's basically the same cold that you had, but it moved to your eye. So she had pink eye, and it was pretty rough. I've never had pink eye in my life, but she's had it a few times. So let me pause real quick. I got to clear my throat. So she was getting over her illness, and she was sick for about a month, and for the last 2 weeks, she had pink eye, like pretty bad for about a week, and then it slowly went away. So I was on my trip. I left on a Friday, came back on a Monday. I was fine. Didn't stay up too late, played it cool, was hanging out with some friends in the Phoenix area. It was all good. Great time. And I got back on the Monday, and I was fine until I got home, and then all of a sudden started feeling a little tired, and my eyes started turning red, and I was like, oh shit, this is not good. Am I getting pink eye now? And sure enough, I started running a fever, which my wife didn't have a fever the whole time, but I started running a fever. I took some medicine. And crazy, I was, you know, not great that night, that Monday night, but was a little tired on Tuesday morning. Kind of took it easy. I was like, all right, maybe I'm getting sick. And my eye was pretty red. And I even took a nap that afternoon. But the thing is, I felt fine by dinner time. So I was like, oh, this is like a 24-hour thing. I have such a strong immune system. I'm going to move on. So anyway, I was like, cool, I'm better. Felt great on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. I even hung out at a happy hour on Friday for like 45 minutes or something. I was like, I don't want to stay out too late, but I hung out, saw some people, did something social. Saturday, both my eyes are pink. I feel like shit. And that was like 2 weeks ago. So crazy enough, I have been just taking it so easy, and I don't know what was going on because I'm not stressed out. My immune system has been strong, been getting rest. Anyway, it's been bananas, and I've been canceling a ton of interviews. I'm like clearing out my schedule. I'm like, my voice is shitty. I'm not thinking straight. Let's reschedule this. So I've like punted things forward. Luckily, I'm self-employed. I make my own schedule, so I could just move things if I need to. Of course, everyone is super understanding. They only see like one canceled meeting, but I see like, you know, 13 things that I've like moved ahead. So anyway, I've mostly recovered. I feel fine. My voice is still weak. The thing is, in 4 days from now, 5 days from now, I'm heading to a conference. So I'm like, we'll be talking a lot at the conference. I have one breakout session that I'll need to lead, but I don't have like a big speaking part. I'll probably only need to talk for like 10 minutes there. But regardless, a conference can be tough on someone's voice, especially one so weak like my own. So I don't know. That's one thing I've learned. Podcast. Okay. Number one thing, don't lose your voice. And the thing that I've learned is don't talk too much at very loud places, because basically people just end up screaming. And I don't know what it is with my voice or my genetic makeup, whatever is wrong with my vocal cords kind of sucks. So don't lose your voice. Resting it is very good. And if you are resting your voice, you're a good listener, right? So if you're a good listener, that's great. Whether you're doing a podcast, if you're meeting new people or whatever, they can ask a question, shut the fuck up. One other side note before I actually get to the real content. I have been to some events where like I literally was speaking, and knowing that trying to talk at a loud bar or even a loud auditorium or something like that, you will just overwork your voice. So I have literally said, hey, I'd love to talk to you. Why don't you tell me stories? But I have to rest my voice because I have to talk in like 30 minutes. So I'm not going to yell at you across the room here, or not across the room, like 2 feet away, like yell at you because it's so noisy in here. So, and I felt kind of weird doing that. But as I have researched it a little bit, people that do speak a lot, or maybe they're musicians or singers or something like that, they literally will just like rest their voice as much as possible. And I have like started to talk a little quieter as I'm trying to rest my voice for this event. Okay. So 500 episodes, pretty crazy. I started my podcast at the beginning of 2019, which it's like a pretty long time ago at this point. And the thing is, I've learned that whenever you feel like, oh, I should start this thing, but maybe I'm too late, or it's saturated, or it's too crowded, and I should have started a long time ago, but if I start now, I'll be behind. Just get over it. Go ahead and start, because at some point in the future, you'll be 3 years or 5 years or 6 years ahead, and you may as well have been working on something, making very slow progress. So I thought I should have started a podcast in like 2014, 2015, but I kind of dragged my feet. I actually spent more time on YouTube first. And then finally in 2019, the time was right and I started the podcast. And it's been awesome. I mean, I started off, I think the first 3 years, 4 years, I did 2 episodes per week, never missed a week. And then I think it was starting last year in 2023, I cut down to 1 episode per week, and that's been great. That's been fine. Everything's fantastic with that. The other quick side note for the people that are, especially the people that are listening right when I publish the episode, there's a big Google algorithm update going on, maybe the biggest ever, right? There's a lot of people just talking about it, even though we're not even a weekend. The day that we're recording this, there's like tons of videos and there's like things going on. Luckily, my voice has been bad and I have canceled most of the stuff that I was going to do, but and I haven't done any live streams or videos to talk about it because, I mean, frankly, no one knows what's going on exactly. We know what Google has told us. And the interesting thing is in the future, right, in a month or a few weeks or whatever, we'll know what the outcome of this very complex multi-system update does. But at this point in time, we're just like, things are very volatile. And it's interesting because so much of the podcast and so much of the content that I've published over the past really like 10 years, but when you look at just at the podcast and YouTube, you know, 5-6 years, it's so heavily focused on SEO and certain specific tactics that potentially are like somewhat irrelevant, or maybe they will be irrelevant. Like, we're really not sure. And that's one, I'm jumping around, but I will tie this in. One mistake that I've made with the podcast is while I've recorded a lot of episodes, I don't know the percentage of episodes that are like evergreen, where you can go back and see a headline and think, I want to check that out and know that it's going to be relevant. A lot of the interviews especially were success stories and specific tactics, specific strategies and methods have shifted so much that they are just irrelevant now. A new person that finds the podcast and they maybe go back, they maybe don't know that those things are now irrelevant. And I look back when I started in 2013 and I was checking out a lot of stuff from Pat Flynn. And the thing is, one of the big blog posts that I like read over and over, really studied from Pat, was about link building. And it was like all these tactics that were very common in like 2010 to 11. I think he published the article in 2011. I found it in 2013. It was just on the tail end of those things being like irrelevant. The other weird thing, right? So it may seem like something is going to be an evergreen topic, but if you zoom out enough and think about a big enough context, you'll realize like some of those topics that seem evergreen really aren't, because there's all these external forces that sort of change. And it seems evergreen on maybe like a 1 year scale, maybe even 2 years. But when you look a little bit farther and you think about the full context, it's like in 3 years, probably going to be irrelevant. So an example of that is link building, right? There are probably some tactics where I would have said a couple of years ago, yeah, this is an evergreen topic. Like, this is always going to be a valid way to get backlinks or to promote your site, if you want to frame it that way. That would be like maybe guest posting. And there's probably a context where that still can work, but at some point in time, like, tactics get abused so much where people might say these days, yeah, you know, guest posting could have worked a few years ago, but you can't really do that now. Folks will argue that you can do it and if you do it in the right way, but the point is, things that seem just so crystal clear that they are an evergreen topic, they might not be. So I wish I would have thought about it that way. When I think about a specific episode, maybe not all of them, but let's say I want to have like 50% of the episodes are evergreen, that makes you think about things differently, where maybe I need to talk about a marketing principle, not like a strategy, a flash in the pan that's going to go away. And some stuff now I'm like, I'm not going to try to, you know, write some tutorial or teach someone how to do like Pinterest marketing, because this stuff changes super fast. And, you know, one thing right now which actually I'm curious if you all have opinions on it. Leave a comment or shoot me an email, feedback@doug.show. Right now, sort of the niche site community and SEO in general, it's kind of up in the air, specifically right now in March of 2024, when SEO is really shaking up quite a bit. A lot of people are talking about Amazon influencer program, and people have actually been talking about it for a year and a half pretty seriously. I mean, it was going, it was making the rounds even before that, but I know probably in the last year and a half, people were talking more and more. I interviewed Tony Maritato, and he actually has a course on it, but he was, you know, doing awesome stuff about it, I think about a year ago, and had great success very fast, was making thousands per month by like last summer, I think 2023. And the thing is, it's a place that people can start a side hustle, be an Amazon influencer. You get the commissions. You're not reliant on Google traffic and the volatility. However, the other side of the coin, right, is you're working as an affiliate for Amazon. And in the past, Amazon has proved to not be a very reliable partner. They've changed the commission rate a few times. There are times when Amazon just kicks you out of the program, or you get notified about a violation or something like that. And this is something that will work for a little while. And I know some people have to shift and say, all right, I gotta tell people about the Amazon influencer program. That's what I'm working on. That's the next, you know, most obvious thing to work on. But I mean, I think we can see how it plays out, right? We've seen this a couple of times. The commission rates go down, it becomes more competitive. People start abusing it. They start publishing whatever, thousands of videos. They hire people to publish the videos, and all of a sudden it becomes a watered down thing. So I'm not saying don't do it, but it's like, we know the end of the story already. I mean, might last for a few years. It's a good thing to get started with if you haven't done anything before, blah, blah, blah. But at the end of the day, it's like Amazon's probably going to cut the rates. It's going to be more competitive. It'll be saturated. There will be a lot of rules that you'll have to follow. And if you get busted for accidentally violating one of the rules, you're out. We've seen all this happen before. Okay, let's get back. I'm going to ramble on forever, and you know, my precious little voice is so weak. So I'm going to hit some of the high points here. Let's knock through a few. When I started the show, I wanted to make sure it was sustainable. So I made it very easy for me to record episodes. I knew that editing was not something I really enjoyed doing. So I wanted editing to be at a minimum. I've mentioned Bill Burr a few times, a comedian. He has the Monday Morning podcast. And he's one of the early podcasters. I can't remember if he started in like 2005 or 7, maybe 2005. But anyway, he's been doing his show for a long time. He is very casual. I mean, he's a comedian, so he's entertaining. And he doesn't edit, essentially, unless there's some major thing. Occasionally something happens and he does have to have his producer come in and edit some minor thing. But some of the episodes are a mess, but he's very consistent. And I was like, I want to make sure that I make it easy. A funny thing, it's a psychological issue, but I was recording with my Audio Technica ATR 2100 for a long time. And I would just plug the USB into my laptop and I would record into GarageBand. And I think I had a relatively good room to record in. It wasn't like wood floor. It was like carpet, and there was stuff on the walls, and there was a, you know, I don't know, bookshelf or whatever. So it absorbed a lot of sound. So that's a great place to record. But the thing is, when I saw like the waveforms going, for some reason it distracted me. So I would like pause and kind of get in my own way, and then it would force edits and all this stuff. But I realized that if I would record into a microphone plugged into a Zoom H4N, that I didn't have the temptation to use the mouse to stop GarageBand. So I could just hit record, record it, and then I could talk through like the issues that I ran into. And I recorded in my closet a handful of times. So I think, you know, we moved at some point and the closet was a good quiet place. Closets are great to record in if you're not doing video. So I would bring the little mic stand in there and just have the recorder, plug it in and record an episode. And it was great. Very easy to do. I've gotten past the GarageBand issue, although nowadays I record video for everything. So I record using Ecamm Live, which is great. I use it for my interviews. I use it for live streaming. I use it to record these. Pretty versatile. And there's some other tools that might be better for specific things, but Ecamm is great for the live streams and it does all the other stuff sufficiently. So everything is simple. Everything is very simple. That makes it sustainable. The other part with publishing two episodes per week, and I was publishing YouTube videos at the same time, I didn't put too much pressure on myself to produce the best material that I possibly could. I knew that if I was publishing a lot, that all of it was going to be great. That's just a fact. I don't have a perfectionist attitude anymore. I think maybe when I was younger, coming from an engineering background, like you get into the details and you're like, oh, I want to try and make it perfect, but no more of that. I'm just like, let's publish it. A lot of these are going to be fine. Some are going to be pretty good, but I know that with the reps that I'm getting at just doing this over and over again, I will get better. And the quality should go up if I think about the quality and try to improve. It should get better over time because I'm prioritizing quantity and publishing over generating the perfect piece of content every time. So sustainable and making it easy. I'm going to talk about compounding a little bit, and you know, this is one area where the evergreen topic comes into play. So doing all the episodes does help some sort of compounding effect where like I can continue to grow and, you know, people can find the show and more people will listen. But if I would have picked better evergreen topics than if someone found a recent show, they liked it and then went back in the archive, they could probably find more shows that are relevant nowadays than, you know, potentially, you know, hundreds of episodes are not so relevant these days. You could always learn something from them, but if someone is talking about, you know, some specific way to publish a lot of content, then it's not as relevant. And the thing is, like, in the last year and a half, like AI content generators and AI in general has gotten so much better that when you're looking through things where like you're trying to figure out how to publish AI content and you hear someone talking about hiring, you know, 40 writers, you're like, why are you hiring all those writers? That's crazy. Of course, now, again, we're in the midst of this update that's coming out and it looks like bulk AI content is not going to be relevant in the way that maybe some people thought. I mean, a lot of people were saying, hey, this is going to be a short-term thing, but I'm going to take advantage while I can. But I mean, people wasted just a shitload of time and resources. And if they didn't earn money in the short term, then that's all, that's just gone. Like that stuff is not going to work anymore. So we'll see how it all shakes out, right? I think AI can play a part in maybe like research and strengthening your content, but it's not going to be the thing that, you know, you're just going to be able to like publish and write directly from AI in a bulk fashion. Okay. Next, we'll talk about the process and the workflow. It has been very simple. I haven't changed too many things. So from a workflow perspective, again, I've kept it simple, and there's a couple tools that I'll point out. You know, I mentioned Ecamm Live. I mentioned the Zoom recorder, which typically I am recording at my desk these days because I am doing video, but occasionally I will use one of the Zoom recorders that I have. I also have an H1N, which is just a handheld. I recently recorded something just on my iPhone 10X, and I didn't use an external microphone. I used the front-facing camera, and it was very good. It was a quiet room that I was recording in, but the audio was fine. And the other tool, the mastering and leveling audio tool that I use, and it does audio for like an MP3, and it'll level and master it, get rid of a hum, any sort of issues like that. But it also will do that for video. So you can put it in a video and it'll fix the audio and then output the same video with the mastered audio. It's called Awphonic. It's been around for several years. It's a web-based tool. It does a few things. So it fixes the audio, but you can also use it as part of your workflow. So I could put in the video and it will output an MP3 and it will send the video, the mastered audio, directly to YouTube. It sounds like a simple thing, but if you don't use that workflow, if I don't use that workflow, it means that I would have to like upload a video, download a video, and then upload a video to YouTube, which there's a lot of uploading and downloading, but if I can get out of the mix and it's just cloud-based tool to another cloud-based tool, then I don't have to upload and download and just waste time sitting here. Very simple thing. It only takes like a second or two to initiate a download and then the upload, but it's faster if it just does it in the background. Speaking of audio, the quality is so important, even for video. I think the video quality is less important than the audio quality. And it bugs me when I hear crappy audio, basically, especially when I do it. Sometimes it's unavoidable, especially I recently recorded something in a remote location, and there's so much that you cannot control. And it was a situation where I needed to go with the flow. So I disagreed with what we were doing. And I said, the audio is going to be fucked. I think it should be usable, but I'm not really sure. And sure enough, the audio is fucked. And it's good enough. You can hear what the person's saying. But, you know, unfortunately, it's a fairly, fairly big show. And the audio is not going to be great. And it's, you know, partially my fault. I mean, the thing is, I was like, this is not going to be good. I don't think we should do it this way, but I was overridden. So again, you got to go with the flow sometimes, but audio quality is really important. The biggest things is having a quiet room. You are better off recording on your iPhone or some inferior microphone in a quiet room that does not have echo. That's the big thing. You don't want echo and reverb. But if you can get a decent mic, again, iPhone is fine. A simple recorder, a simple $20 lav mic is fine. In a quiet room, that's going to be pretty damn good. I'd rather have a quiet room than like a Shure MV7 like I speak in the studio here. I'd rather have the less high quality mic than to have the Shure in an echoey room. And there's nothing you could do when you have the input file and it's a ton of reverb. You can clean it up, but you will be better off with a just cleaner file. All right. So once you get the hang of the audio though, fairly straightforward. There's some tricks you can do. You know, if you're in, let's say you're in a hotel room and it happens to have like wood floor, maybe there's a sliding glass window, or it's like a high rise and it's like, you know, one whole wall is just a window. you know, as much as possible, like cover that up. You can like stack pillows up or something like that, or put a chair in front of it and just kind of like block the path of where the sound can echo back. And the biggest issue is hard, flat surfaces. So like, think of a bathroom, right? There's tile in there. There's a big mirror. You have the shower, which is a maybe tile in there, or it's hard, flat surfaces again. Where you think of a closet, it's clothes in there. There's a lot of irregular surfaces that just absorb the sound. So those are the two contrasts. But the point being is, once you understand like the hard, flat surfaces are your enemy, you could try to figure out how to position yourself so that the echo will not impact you. Or maybe you can put pillows in the corner of a room, or put a chair up and pull the drapes or something like that just to block the echo. Pretty simple and straightforward. One thing that I've talked about a lot with a podcast is the networking. And you're able to have conversations with, number one, people you don't know at all, who if you just emailed them, they probably wouldn't answer your email, but they definitely wouldn't hop on the phone with you and talk to you for an hour while you ask them questions. But if you have a podcast and you've published a handful of episodes, maybe you've had some bigger guests, maybe people in their circle, they will most likely talk to you. And I started the show like 5 years ago. I've interviewed a ton of people, and I can now approach like fairly high level folks, and they'll talk to me. I could say, hey, I've interviewed this person, this other person. I've been featured here and there. And they're like, oh, this person is serious, or they're professional. They maybe even think I'm professional, but they're like, hey, he's serious, and that'll be good if I do the interview with him or whatever. We do some collaboration. The other thing is, you can talk to people that are your friends and ask them questions you maybe normally wouldn't, you know, ask them. So that's an interesting thing. And, you know, maybe it doesn't come up as much here on the Doug Show, but for my other show, Mile High Fi, you know, I may interview someone that I know, and I can ask that person questions that would be weird to ask if I wasn't interviewing them. So kind of a subtle thing, but it's interesting. And I've heard like Tim Ferriss talk about this, where he's like, yeah, I couldn't, you know, we wouldn't normally have this conversation. They're buddies, right? He's talking to his friend. He's like, we normally wouldn't have this conversation and talk for 3 hours about these topics. But because it's a podcast, it's like, it opens it up, opens up the topic so you could talk about. I think obviously, if you do a podcast or you do YouTube, you'll improve your speaking. So it wasn't my specific intention, but thinking about recording and like doing a bunch of shows and preparing for them and just talking in general, just through sheer repetition, if you're trying to get a little bit better, you will. And over a long period of time, you know, it's been in many books. I think Atomic Habits, James Clear, right? Most recently, talking about like getting 1% better. Like, you don't have to make like huge amounts of progress in a short amount of time or anything. If you just make a little progress over a very long period of time, like that compounds. And I don't know if I've continued to like improve my speaking in general, but if I were to listen to some of the first episodes versus what I'm recording now, I think now, hopefully, is much better. And I did go for a short time, I did go to some Toastmasters meetings. Funny thing, I was supposed to speak like right when COVID started in 2020. And I think I had like 5 weeks before I was supposed to do a talk. It would have been for eZoic, but it was at Google. So I would be like featured at Google. Like I could then say, hey, I spoke at Google, right? Technically it's their building, right? But COVID started and then everything shut down. That got canceled, so I didn't get to do it. But I did go to two Toastmasters meetings in person. I did one or two talks, and then it moved to a virtual situation, which wasn't as helpful for me because I was doing YouTube for a few years at that point. But anyway, the point is, if you do start a show, there's a strong chance you'll improve your speaking and just be more confident presenting and that sort of thing. So, a couple other quick notes. This one is something that I should work on moving forward. So, I sort of failed at continually growing the podcast. So, there were some ups and downs, but it's interesting because I didn't want to get too caught up in any kind of metrics or stats. I wanted to create the content that I would be interested in listening to and consuming, and the content that I was excited about making. So with that in mind, I kind of just kept moving forward with what I was doing, tried not to cater too much to what I thought the audience wanted, especially when I started doing YouTube and podcast all like at the same time, right? I record a video and then I separate the video and audio and publish them in both places. So big thing, failed to grow the show on a consistent basis where, again, this is the compounding thing where I'm like, looking back, I understand how important that could have been and the impact that it's had. So a couple things that I should do moving forward, and I definitely should have done in the past. So get in front of new audiences. That can be done in a few ways. So I could have been, you know, and I'll just list out the couple easy ways that I could have been I could have gotten in front of other audiences. Basically, I could have been a guest on other podcasts. So one of the issues that I ran into was there's not a huge number of niche site SEO podcasts, or at least I didn't know there were, a lot of them. And maybe you look back 5 years ago, there weren't as many. But there's a few that have been around. Some come and go, but I was kind of aware of maybe like four or five. And the thing is, I was like, some of those people view me as competitors. They wouldn't even want me on the show. Even if I had good stories, they just, they view it as competition, not as collaboration. So that kind of got in my way. And I was like, they wouldn't have me on. So I should have thought a little bit bigger and gone outside of like the niche site world, which is so obvious to me now that I've gone to a few conferences like FinCon, and FinCon is a financial creators conference. And there's a lot of, personal finance bloggers and video creators and podcasters and social media folks and all that stuff. But what I noticed was there were some SEO folks giving talks at FinCon because those people at FinCon wanted to learn about SEO and keywords and other stuff like that. Or maybe they wanted to learn about podcasting. The thing is, there's all these different industry-specific conferences and they want to know about the shit that I know. So again, super obvious now, but I could have, and I can still, right? I say I could have. I can do this now. So there are conferences that are focused on travel creators or personal finance. What's some other stuff? Really any industry, right? Any group, mom bloggers, food bloggers, anyway, fill in any niche. There's probably conferences or other podcasts or YouTubers or online summits. There are plenty of opportunities for me to get in front of other audiences, but I sort of had my own artificial cage that I created around myself thinking, I just need to try to talk to people that are into SEO or whatever. I should have just branched out. And I mean, the thing is, like, people recommended it to me. They were like, hey, you should go to these mom blog conferences and talk about the keyword golden ratio. Like, they understand keyword research and they're trying to get more traffic. Makes total sense. I didn't do it when it was suggested to me. I think, again, I got in my head because as I saw, I think I thought that other niches, say mom bloggers or recipe bloggers, viewed the make money online and SEO and niche site folks as like scammers or people that they didn't want to associate with. But now, as I've worked in the industry for a little longer and I've seen like other conferences, I mean, there's all different flavors of people that, you know, whatever, have high integrity or do not. And it's across all industries and all niches and all that kind of stuff. So anyway, I got in my own head thinking these other niches would not want to talk to me. But now that I'm in other niches, I'm like, oh, they would want to hear what I have to say. And I have like specific case studies and I have specific results and a specific take that maybe they haven't seen before. So I should have been going around talking about the keyword golden ratio even more and more. Now, I hope it's still going to be relevant moving forward after this March 2024 giant core update, but I guess we'll see. All right. So I think that is it for today. I feel like my voice was getting stronger as I went. So anyway, thanks for the support out there. If you haven't left a review, it would be awesome if you left a review, especially on like Apple Podcasts or Spotify. If you're watching on YouTube, thanks a lot. We recently crossed over 100K subscribers. Oh yeah, I got my plaque over here. I don't know where to put it. I'll show you real quick. Yeah, so I'll have to find a place to put this baby. And I'll probably record a video just talking about it. And yeah, I didn't think I'd get this for another 10 years, but I did get it. So anyway, it's fun. I'll put that somewhere in the background. I'm not sure where. I thought about suspending it from the ceiling right behind me here. But yeah, I got that baby, and I'm not sure. Maybe we'll get to another 500. We'll have a 1,000 episode recap before too long. So thanks a lot for the support, and we'll catch you on the next episode.